And it is approved many times. So, well, we're continuing blessed. We're starting to get toward the latter half of it. We are at the latter half of it, so bear with me. But so I just want to review. We've had the word on the blessed. We had the word believe, that you are loved with an everlasting love. Do you believe that you are loved with an everlasting love? Amen. Listen and hear what the Lord is saying to you. Enter into a deeper fellowship with the Lord. And last week we had seek the deeper things of him. This week we're going to look at the word serve. We are to serve the Lord and let him be glorified in all that we say and all that we do. And we're going to be looking at some scriptures tonight from the believer's perspective. We've already accepted the Lord. So we're going to be talking at it or thinking about it from a believer's perspective and how we should be, not as if we are a non-believer. And I hope that makes sense. It made sense to me when I was studying it. So we're going to start in Romans 6. Romans 6 and verse 17. It may seem kind of strange how we're going to start out here tonight, but it made sense when I studied, so I hope you get a receive a blessing. I want to start with verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to the to righteousness unto holiness. We used to be, as an unbeliever, servants of sin. Now as believers, we are servants of righteousness. And because of that, we need to keep in mind the things that have been said in the previous verses. So I want to start back, and I didn't know where to start and where to stop, so we're going to go back up to verse 1, Romans 6, 1. We're just going to read. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may be abound? Now remember, this is, we're thinking of it as a believer's perspective. So, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we had been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether to sin, of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? Because we have been delivered from the consequence of sin, which is death, we should not continue in the things that we've been delivered from. The past, our old nature, the past was buried with him. And we are risen in a newness of life through his resurrection. And we should walk in that newness. In other words, there should be a difference in how we're living from where we were. There should be an evidence of that change from the old to the new creation. But something I learned, it's a daily choice that we make. We make that decision to accept Jesus as our Savior, but we have a daily choice to make to serve the Lord. Amen. We are constantly having to choose between doing what is right before the Lord and what would not be right. And when we come to those decisions, we have to weigh them against the Word of God. And when we do that, we will know what is the right way to do. Let's look at verse 20 and 21. For when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So now as a believer, and I've had to do this more than once, when we yield to the old creation, we're ashamed of what the results are. I've been there. I've been to a place where I was so ashamed that I didn't think I could pray. Didn't think I was worthy to pray, that God would accept my prayer. But the Holy Spirit will not let us be proud in that disobedience. We'll have a guilty conscience. Because there is no fruit in disobedience. And even when we do it in secret, God still deals with us. It is not hidden. In verse 22, the difference is, but now being made free from sin, you become servants to God. Ye have fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. As we continually yield to the Lord, our testimony bears fruit. It's evident to those around us. We don't have to flaunt it. Now, I want to say that this does not mean we lose our salvation when we yield to the old creation. The Word tells us that sin no longer has the dominion over us. We are a child of the holy living God. You are a child of the living God. We do, however, when we continue, and that's the key word, is continue in disobedience, we lose our testimony before men. God is not glorified in the things that we do or say. And others are not going to listen to us if there's no difference between what we do and what they do. We all mess up at times, and we shouldn't beat ourselves over the head. The key is, what do you do when you make that mistake? Do we continue to go down that path and not come back to the Lord? Or do we ask forgiveness and come back in full restored fellowship with the Lord? And I thought of David with his sin with Bathsheba. And in 2 Samuel 2:14, when Nathan talked to him, this stood out to me. Nathan told David he had given enemies or non-believers the occasion to blaspheme God or to reject God. We don't ever want to be guilty of that. We don't want to ever give somebody a reason to deny God or to deny Jesus, because we are responsible. Second, I want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 8. When I saw this, I'd think about this for a little bit, but the Lord really dealt with my heart. 2 Chronicles 30, verse 8. Now be ye not stiff-necked, as your fathers were, but yield yourselves unto the Lord, and enter into his sanctuary, which he hath sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. God's only going to let us go so far in our stubbornness. And this is what the Lord has showed me, and he's had to show me more than once. Serving the Lord with a willing heart brings joy. When we don't, we have the heartache that comes with disobedience. And I thought of Jonah. You know, God told Jonah what to do, and Jonah tried to run from God in his disobedience. And the Lord only let him go so far in his stubbornness. And 3 days, the Lord dealt with his heart in that stubbornness. Now, I'm sure there was some heartache in there, but God's not going to let us continue. One way or another, he's going to bring us around. We don't want to have to hit rock bottom. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 54, 17. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Nothing can prosper against us when we are fully serving the Lord. Nothing can prevail. Satan's going to try any way possible, and even to use the ones that are the closest to us. But against the word of God, it will not and cannot come to fruition. It can't in the long run. It may seem like for a short time that we're being defeated, but in the long run, it can't. When we are fully serving the Lord, when we are yielded to the Lord, we cannot be defeated. And then I thought, you know, we've heard of ones around the world that have been arrested or even killed because of their faith, and they're not willing to turn away from the serving their service to the Lord. That's where they're serving with their whole being. What has been the results? The gospel has spread. And many have come to know their Savior because of these testimonies of service. It wasn't defeated. Satan cannot win when we are serving the Lord. Think of Job. Satan was only allowed to go as far as God allowed him. Nothing we go through can go any farther than God allows. Satan cannot win when we are yielding to the Lord. Let's go to Luke 1. Luke 1 and verse 74. This is another promise. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. It's a promise that we will be delivered. We don't need to fear when we are serving the Lord. Let's go to chapter 6 and verse 46. Luke 6 and 46. And why call ye Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Why do we call him Lord and Master when we're not willing to do what he wants us to do? We know what the Lord wants us to do when we are in a deep fellowship with him in his word. He will not hide his will from us. Romans 12 and verse 1. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We are to present our whole body That's body, soul, and spirit, to be used for the glory of God. And reasonable, I looked it up here, and reasonable has the meaning of logical or rational. Because we are loved with an everlasting love, and we want to continue in that deeper fellowship with the Lord, it is reasonable or logical that we would want to do the things that glorify the Lord. Because we want to stay in that deep fellowship, we should want to serve the Lord with our whole being. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting with verse 21. 1 Corinthians 7, 21. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. We are bought with the price, and that price was the precious shed blood of Christ. And because of that, we are now servants of the Lord. And being a servant of the Lord means that we are free. We are free from the bondage of condemnation. And we can see when it says, be not ye servants of men, or this is what I understood. We see this when men try to put us back under the bondage, religious bondage. When men say you have to do this or you have to do that to be saved or to keep your salvation or whatever. We are not to please men in those religious rules or whatever. We are to be in the Word, and when we are in the Word, we're going to please the Lord. And that's what He wants. Galatians 1:10. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after man. We have to choose one or the other. Everything we do should be done according to the Word of God. Every aspect of our life. And when we do that, we are not going to please carnal man. And that's including ourselves, our family, or anyone else that would try to put us under condemnation. I've been guilty of trying to put myself under condemnation. Well, if I didn't do this, you know, God's going to strike me over the head, you know, type of thing. I've been guilty of that for myself. But when I do whatever I do, if I do it according to the Word of God, even if I try to put myself under condemnation, it's not going to work. Then I have this question for you. Let's go to Psalm 116. 116 and verse 16. Can I say this? O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant. And the son of thy handmaid, thou hast loosed my bonds. Can we honestly answer that we are truly the Lord's servant? That's what he wants of us. And that's what I have tonight.